I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Ivory Coast was once an economic hub of West Africa. In fact, it was the world's top producer of cocoa. Then, a civil war 8 years ago split Ivory Coast into a rebel-controlled north and a loyalist south. The country reunited in 2007, but it's threatening to descend into chaos again. The reason is last month's disputed presidential election. Alassane Ouattara is the internationally recognized winner, but incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo refuses to step down. The BBC's John James is in Abidjan. And after a week of growing pressure on Mr. Gbagbo to step down, John, it looks like today it got ratcheted up several notches.
Indeed, the international pressure has been building. And today, the heads of state from the West African region, the body there called ECOWAS, they've been meeting in Nigeria. And they've come out with a very strong statement saying that if Laurent Gbagbo doesn't step down, then they'll try and draw up a military intervention force to come. So they're sending a group of their own people to come here to Ivory Coast to talk to Gbagbo one last time to try and convince him to step down. If he doesn't, well, they're warning of military intervention to drive him out of power, really. So a very strong threat to Laurent Gbagbo's power.
And if those diplomats do not manage to get Laurent Gbagbo to leave voluntarily, what kind of force could those West African leaders muster to push him out?
Well, in terms of the regional forces, you're really talking about a Nigerian army. I think there's no one else really in the region who can come up with a sizable force to come and do that sort of job. I mean, realistically, on the ground, there's not that much they need to do. I mean, Laurent Gbagbo has the public support of the army, but the army is known to be divided behind the scenes. So he can probably only count on certain brigades. He doesn't control the north of the country. So it's really about a fight in Abidjan for control of the presidential palace, the state television, and with the UN forces there to secure whatever gains are made, then it just takes a force, I guess, of several thousand, and then we could see the results on the ground, given that there's the UN, there's the French peacekeepers, and also there's the rebel forces as well.
I mean, it's one thing, though, for the international community to say Gbagbo didn't win the election. It's an entirely different thing for a sovereign nation to essentially be invaded in order to install a new president. There hasn't been any violence in Ivory Coast for a few days now. How will Ivorians react, though, to this latest news?
Yes, obviously, it doesn't look good when you say you've won the election, but you require a foreign force to put you in place. But that seems to be the way we're heading at the moment. It's very much a last resort. People have been trying negotiations, targeted sanctions, financial restrictions on the government to make it difficult for them to operate. But Laurent Gbagbo seems absolutely determined to stay. I'm sure the threat of a foreign intervention force will provoke more of the nationalist dialogue of saying, you know, we're being invaded, people are against Ivory Coast, this is a colonial plot. So we'll see what can be made of it. But really, if you look at Laurent Gbagbo's forces, it doesn't really seem sort of up to the task of facing a force coming in from outside, given all the other elements here on the ground.
Unlike Kenya and Zimbabwe, where recent contested elections resulted in power-sharing agreements, this pressure of military force sounds like a radical option. Has this kind of strategy, you know, where African nations essentially team up against one of their own, has that actually been employed before in contested elections?
Well, Nigerian force were used about a decade ago, the ECOMOC force, and that's been used on the ground in places like Sierra Leone and Liberia to bring about change. So it's not without precedent. But at the same time, as you say, recently around election disputes in Zimbabwe and Kenya, the way things have been going, it's more towards a power sharing agreement of both sides being in one government. I have to say that that's been the situation here in Ivory Coast for the last few years in terms of the peace deal to leave behind the civil war. But as a way to solve the crisis after the election, I think people are probably, you know, they're not convinced that that's the way forward of having a power sharing deal.
Final question, John. What's your sense? Will Laurent Gbagbo listen to the ECOWAS leaders?
Well, Laurent Gbagbo has been quite stubborn so far. It's very difficult to see him stepping down, really, given that the language he's been maintaining over the last few weeks or so. Probably the more important question is whether moderates, those who support him, will see the way things are going and start shifting towards the other camp. And if that's the case, if, say, the army decides to move over to support Ouattara, as indeed he's called on them to do, then we could see a change of power. But otherwise, well, it could get rather nasty here on the ground if we do get a foreign force come in.
The BBC's John James in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. Thanks for the update.